Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 35 and going down to verse 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Title of my message this morning is on the subject of persuaded of God's love. Persuaded of God's love. Romans chapter 8 is, if I had to choose a favorite chapter in the New Testament, I suppose it would be Romans chapter 8. I love Romans 8. I love to read it. I love to think about it. I love to preach from it. When I was in Mansfield, I took almost a year going through preaching, beginning at verse 1 and going all the way down to verse 39 on Sunday mornings, preaching through Romans chapter 8. I love it that much, and there's just so much, and I don't think that I ever exhausted the book, the chapter. But as you go through Romans chapter 8, you know, obviously we often think about Romans 8:28. That's a wonderful verse. But you get down to this final portion, the great climax of this great chapter. And the question is asked, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Paul has been giving possible challenges to the doctrine of final preservation of the saints. He started this actually back up in verse 31. And I love how he gives this argument to this doctrine. And he asks the questions. You know, verse 31, he says, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Verse 33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Then on verse 35, where we're at now, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? This list of things, if you will, that may come and try us. These list of things that Paul was all too well familiar with, and so were the saints at Rome. Tribulation. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Oh, praise the Lord, we're not going to go through the great tribulation, but wait a minute now. We will have tribulation in this world. And just because we may not go through the great 7-year tribulation, it don't mean that we won't have some great tribulations in this life. In fact, in John chapter 16, in verse 33, Jesus says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." It's no doubt been a great, thing for the saints of God to read this through the years, through the centuries. But it's also been a great puzzle to the persecutors, to the troublemakers, to the people who have tried to go against God's people, and yet God's people haven't given up. Jesus says, "I have spoken these things unto you that you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation." Not you might have. Not that there's possibly going to be tribulation, but ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Jesus says, "I have overcome the world." Over in Acts 14 and verse 22. Acts 14 and verse 22. "Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God." We must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. You know, there's a lot of speculation that goes on sometimes when it comes to the coming of Christ. I've heard men say that the Lord is going to come back when the last person is saved. I don't believe that, because there's going to be some people saved who are saved during the tribulation period and on into the millennium. So the rapture is going to take place before the last person is saved. But even if the rapture were going to take place after the last person was saved, you know, I've heard preachers say things like, "Well, just as soon as that last person's saved, then he's going to take us up out of here." Why would we think that? When so many of God's people have gone through trouble and tribulation, who are we to think that we're exempt from all of that? To think that somehow that we're not going to go through trouble and tribulation. This generation's not exempt from that. And I don't know what kind of tribulations or troubles we may go through. I don't know if you all ever think about things like this, but, you know, as we were coming up to the 2020s and things were going pretty good, I thought, boy, this is going to be really nice. But we might have to talk about the roaring 1920s to keep it separate from the roaring 2020s. I really thought of that. Things were going pretty good. But not so much anymore, are they? We can still talk about the roaring 20s, and no one will think it's the roaring 2020s. And who knows? Who knows what kind of trouble we may go through? The Lord may come back today, and I pray He does. But we may go through some tribulations, some troubles, some trials. But if we do, not if we do, what's He say there? Shall suffer tribulation. Whatever kind of trouble or trial or tribulation we may go through, financial, wars, whatever it is, can tribulation separate us from the love of God, from the love of Christ? No. No, tribulation cannot separate us from the love of God. What about distress? Distress. What is distress? Distress is anguish. Haven't we seen that? Oh my goodness, we have. We have. Oh, it's easy to get distressed over the things that are going on. And it's multiplied, isn't it? It's multiplied because we have we're bombarded 24/7 through 24/7 news and Facebook and Twitter and all of these things and the pop-ups and the things that come up on our phones. Get ready to go on a trip and just to go on a trip and you got to think about, well, I was just reading about some of the things that travelers have to go through and Brother Peter having to make his trip to go back to New Guinea. You know, masks, no masks, the vaccines and no vaccines, and is it required, and the tests and the waiting for the tests and all of those things and the results and the quarantines and all that anguish. I'd hate to fly right now. Inflation, the rising cost of stuff and all these things. Distress. They separate us from the love of Christ? No. No, beloved, no matter what's going on in this world, it cannot separate us from the love of our God. Persecutions. Oh, praise the Lord, we're not being targeted in this country the same way that those saints in the book of Romans were. But they knew something about persecution, didn't they? We're not being targeted like the saints of God were, the churches were during the Middle Ages. Truly, our Baptist heritage is a trail of blood. Don't forget that. Don't forget that. Our heritage is not a Reformed heritage. I don't understand these guys on the internet talking about the five solas and all that sort of thing as if that's our heritage. That's not. That's not. Thank God for the Reformers and what they tried to stand for, but they are not part of our heritage. In fact, many of those reformers persecuted Baptists. Their hands are covered in blood. Thank God that those days are over in this country, that they're not persecuting Baptists the way that they used to. Thank God that we can meet here and not fear the government. Thank God that we can meet here and not fear the Catholics. Thank God that we can meet here and not fear the Presbyterians. I'll say it. The Lutherans. The Muslims. They all had something in common. They hated the Baptists. They hated the Baptists. They put them in jail, burned them at the stake, died some awful deaths. And even today, folks, even today, while we enjoy a service like this, even today in some countries, there are persecutions happening. I've got a map up in my study. I just hung it up recently. It shows countries where persecutions are still happening. But understand something, that we may not face a bloody persecution, but there are some troubles that come if you take a stand. You know, try running a bakery and refuse to bake a cake for a sodomite couple. See what happens. See what happens. And it's only going to get worse. It's only going to get worse in this country. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12. Verses 12 and 13. He says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. Sounds awful, doesn't it? But can persecution separate us from the love of Christ? No. No, not at all. Not at all. In fact, you want some encouragement, you get a hold of Fox's Book of Martyrs or Martyr's Mirror. And read the testimonies of those men and women who died for the cause of Christ. And sometimes for things such as baptism. We got Baptists running around here today that call that a secondary issue. My, my. My, my. What in the world's going on? But no, persecution will not separate us from the love of Christ. I love this one. I love all these, but he gets down there and he says, famine. Famine. We're pretty close to famine in this country. And I don't know how bad it's going to get or how bad it could get. But I never thought that I'd walk into a grocery store and not see the shelves full. I took it for granted. I heard about going to stores in the Soviet Union, or Venezuela, or Cuba, Africa and not finding food on the shelf. But there's some things now, if you've got a grocery list and you go trying to find it, it ain't there. Famine will not separate you from the love of God, from the love of Christ. In fact, there's a verse I love in Habakkuk chapter 3. Habakkuk chapter 3. I know we don't go there very often, but in Habakkuk chapter 3. Verses 17 through 19 says this: although the fig leaf or the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet. He will make me to walk upon mine high places, to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. Think of it this way. Although the bread isn't on the shelf anymore, even though the fruit isn't in stock, the meat isn't to be found, well, you get the picture. You get the picture. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make me my feet like hinds' feet. No famine will not separate us from the love of Christ. Nakedness? No, nakedness will not separate us from the love of God. It's wild. You know, even in some of the shortages, you know, there's some articles of clothing that were kind of hard to find there for a little bit. What were they doing? Well, Hanes and Fruit of the Loom, they diverted some of their factories to making masks. And so try to go buy a package of underwear or whatever. It wasn't on the shelf like it used to be. Well, certain sizes were not there. That's tough stuff. Peril. Peril, danger, that's what that word means. Danger, risk, hazard, jeopardy, particularly at the exposure of a person or property to injury, loss, or destruction from any cause whatsoever. In 2 Corinthians 11, we won't turn there, but Paul talked about in perils of waters, in perils of robbers. When he wrote to Timothy, he talked about the last days. In 2 Timothy chapter 3. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, He said this, "Know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." Remember, Bobby Lakes came, preached a revival meeting for us in the 1990s over at King's Edition. I remember he preached from this chapter. I remember him standing there in if you never knew Bobby Lakes, but he, maybe you met him, maybe you didn't, but he had a big old head of white hair. I remember him standing there. He said that word perilous means dangerous, and talked about dangerous times. Boy, he brought out this chapter, 2 Timothy chapter 3, and it sounded like something out of the newspapers in the 1990s. It's gotten worse, hasn't it? And every year we think, I don't see how it could get any worse. And yet it does. It does. Dangerous times. I would hate to live in a place like Portland, Oregon, or Seattle, Washington right now. They're over there defunding the police and everything else, just letting people run off with whatever. Peril or danger becomes? Separate us from the love of God? No, not at all. Not at all. Now, I was thinking about them wildfires out there in New Mexico. You know, I lived out there where all them fires are coming down. There was one time I remember while I lived there, we could see a wildfire up on the top of the mountain. We lived in a canyon there. That's scary stuff. That's scary stuff. The wind shifts directions, and man, that fire can just come sweeping down. And separate us from the love of God? No. No. Not at all. Not at all. Then as he goes on down here, and I've got to hurry up. They're in Romans. And in this verse, in Romans 8. He says, or sword. That last word, sword. Paul didn't know nothing about the weapons that we have today, did he? He didn't know anything about semi-automatic or automatic weapons. He didn't know nothing about nuclear weapons. He didn't know nothing about any of that, but that's okay. Know the sword or any other weapon that man may have, not even a nuclear weapon. Do you realize that if a nuclear weapon were to come right here, whether it would be aimed from another country or a dirty bomb in a suitcase, it doesn't matter. No weapon can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Whether it's some terrorist that ain't got $3 to his name, he just handed a bomb to carry somewhere to blow himself up. Or Putin. Or whoever else. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. These are some pretty terrible things. But none of these can separate us from the love of Christ. And then he gets on down here to verse 36. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. And that's a quote from Psalms 44, verse 22. It's a reminder that these things are reality because we are Christians. God never promised us a life of ease. If you're a Christian today because you thought that life would get better when you trusted the Lord, you're in it for the wrong reason. Oh, there's some good times, no doubt about it. And I would rather be in the love of Christ than to be anywhere else. Because you're going to have problems in this world regardless of where you're at. The rain falls upon the just and the unjust. But guess what else? Trouble comes to all who are born of a woman. And if you're going to have trouble, you best be with the Lord in those times of trouble. You best be with the Lord. Hey, listen, you can go back to the book of... You can go back and you can study things out. And you can read about it. You can study it. And you got to understand something. You can get into trouble for following... You can get in trouble while following the Lord. You can get in trouble for running from the Lord. My goodness. My goodness. Better be with the Lord during those times of trouble. Being in the love of Christ is the best place to be in tough times. Paul says here in verse 37, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. But really, I want to get down here to verse 38. He says, for I am persuaded. What's that mean? I am persuaded. If I persuade you of something, that means I've convinced you of something. In other words, Paul knew. I am persuaded. He knew what he was talking about. You see, what he was writing about wasn't a hope so, a maybe so, might be so kind of a thing. You see, what is it the kids sing sometimes? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. You see, Paul knew that. Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. Do you know this morning that Jesus loves you? Are you fully persuaded like he was? What an awful feeling it would be to lay your head down at night and not be persuaded of this fact. That neither death... You see, this is the doctrine of eternal security, but also assurance as well, you see. And I believe that the child of God can be assured of salvation on this side of death. You see, it's not a coin toss. It's not chance. It's not we'll wait and see what happens. No, you can know now. You can know now. Make your calling and election sure. Now, today. He says, for I am persuaded that neither death won't separate us from the love of Christ. Death won't separate us from the love of God. You see, for the child of God, death ought not to be a fearful thing. Though we die once, it's not the end. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Beginning of verse 55. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. O death, O death. You see, death comes alone. And death might say, I've got you now. But through Christ we can say, O death, where is thy sting? The grave says, I've got you. There's no way out. But Jesus says, yes, there is. Where is your victory? You see, we wouldn't be so bold if we were by ourselves, would we? Oh, death, your cold fingers, your cold hands coming over me. No, stay away. I don't want you. But through Christ, we can say, come on. I'm not afraid. Grave? Nah. It's only temporary. Only temporary. Though a child of God may be murdered, die of cancer, coronavirus, be martyred, car wreck, whatever. There are perhaps millions of ways to die. But none of these can separate a child of God from God's love. What a beautiful thing. Life. So he goes on down through this list. He said death and then life. Oh, life is tough, isn't it? Man. He says there in this. In Romans 8, there in our text, I am persuaded that neither death nor life. There's only so much you can do with death. But oh, we can sure do a lot with life. And most of it involves a lot of messing things up. We can mess up a lot of life. There's troubles and trials and dangers and tribulations. And certainly, there's a lot of time. I mean, there's time that we spend in life. But a lot of times we think, well, you know, I done goofed that up. And I done messed this up. And I done wasted that time and all that. And there's depressions and anxieties and fears and stress and all those things that come, temptations and hidden snares and curveballs that come in life and all of these things. Life. There's ups, downs, and all around. Good times and bad times. There's mountaintops and valleys. Life can be all that and more. But whatever it is and whatever it may bring, no life cannot separate us from the love of God. Angels. Some commentators limit this to good angels. Others limit it to the fallen angels. I wonder why in the world can't it be both? You know, we are lower than the angels. Yet even in their full power, yea, even the devil himself cannot separate us from the love of God. Principalities, powers. Again, you read commentaries and you'll see all kinds of things. Some confine this to angels. Others say Paul is referring to civil government. I say take it to its widest meaning. No angel, good or bad, no civil government, no matter how powerful, Islamic, communist, it doesn't matter. Democracy, republic, nobody can separate us from the love of God. Things present, nor things to come. You know, we know what's going on now, and that's enough. We don't always know what's going to happen next. We didn't plan. We can't plan for everything. When we rung in 2020, we didn't know what was going to happen by March 2020 with all the lockdowns and all that. We don't know, but that's okay. Whatever it is, whatever's going on, whatever there is in the future, it can't separate us from the love of God. Verse 39, nor height nor depth. Two ways to take that. One is everything talked about until now. Angels, principalities, powers. But also whatever you find yourself in, whether down in the valley of great trouble or up on the mountaintop of great blessing, whether you're rich or you're poor, none of that can separate from the love of God or any other creature. Or any other creature. It's almost as if Paul is saying, as he's writing under the inspiration of the Spirit, just in case I forgot something that's not on this list, just in case you come across something that's not on this list, guess what? It can't hurt you either. It can't separate you from the love of Christ. It can't separate you from the love of God. Which is in the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And that's something else to take notice of. If you notice in this sermon, I've mentioned the love of God. And sometimes I'll say the love of Christ. Well, that's because in verse 35, it was the love of Christ. And now it's the love of God. Beloved, both terms are speaking of the same love. Sometimes some people will talk about the God of the New Testament, Jesus Christ loving you, and the Old Testament God, the Father, being not so much a God of love. But that's not right at all. We serve one God, and He loves His people. In fact, in John chapter 3 and verse 16. In John chapter 3 and verse 16, the Bible here says in this very familiar passage of Scripture, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And then in John 15, verses 12 and 13, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." You see that? John is telling us, God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. And then Jesus says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." The love of God, the love of Christ, it's the same love, and it's an everlasting love. If God loves you now, he'll love you forever. Oh, praise God for his love. Are you persuaded, like Paul was, of his love? Oh, do not go to bed tonight until you're sure of his love. May God add a blessing to his word.